Hey, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for keeping a roof over our heads and giving us the freedom to meet together. I pray that you would just bless our time in your presence, and that you would use it, Lord, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to still our minds, to give us portions of wisdom, Lord. I just pray and thank you for loving us and for all your many helps. And for your good hand upon Lynn and Dr. Shang as they travel and visit for Colin, wherever it is that he is, Lord, please spare his life. For Will and Christine and Mary Ann and Beryl as well, Lord, for Pat and Steve. I pray your good hand upon these our absent brethren. And Lord, that you be with us. Thank you for loving us and for saving our souls. And Lord, take and do with us as you will. Please find in us willing participants. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right, number 11, we will do Immortal, Invisible God in the Wise. Number 11, the Read Like Books. Let's make a joyful song.
Oh, Next reading is from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them, fear them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Fear the Lord, ye the saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you and fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Thy is the Lord are upon the righteous, and the ears are open unto their cry. Yes, the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen.
Good promises in that. We should never forget those. I don't know, there's many good times we could be doing with them, or we definitely would need them. Does anybody have any prayer requests for until Sunday morning? Anybody got any prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray for all those children that died or were murdered in the kibbutz in Italy. I'm trying to find 40 bodies.
In Italy?
Yeah.
Italy?
No.
Israel?
In Israel.
Yeah, that was awful.
Just came out this afternoon. Not only that, but terribly be kept.
There's a lot going on with all of, the Muslim nations around Israel have treated, they attacked with no warning, they attacked Israel, and nearly 1,000 people have been killed by these Muslim terrorists, and a lot of them were just Joe Blow citizens, whole families, little children, babies, and killed and then beheaded by these just outright pagan worshiping wicked men. So please do pray for the families and those that are left behind. That is an awful thing. But I'm going to tell you here and now, Israel will win. The Bible says that they will, and there will be a reckoning. That's all I can say. So please do pray for Israel, especially at this time. Lord, I've heard in the years gone by to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Israel. Sometimes you don't have any peace from bullies until you give them a black eye and a bloody nose. So please do pray for Israel.
Pray for the breakup of the United Nations. There's things to be broken up.
There's an awful lot going on. An awful lot. A lot of very wicked people pretending to be good, taking advantage of people. So we're commanded to pray for the leaders of our countries. That doesn't mean to pray for their well-being, for God's blessings upon them, because the wee verse of scripture that Norman was reading there talks about oppressing them that do evil. So that's the prayer to the Lord. And people need to be made known that even in our own country there's a lot of very wicked people just making merchandise of Joe Public. Just make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord no matter what else is going on. Do pray for each other. Do pray for our absent brethren. Lynn and Dr. Shang will be back next Friday evening. We'll be going up to see my dad on Thursday and staying until, Lord willing, getting Lynn and Dr. Shang on the Friday evening and bringing them back to Derry then. So please do pray about that. Thank the home okay. Had 2 weeks over in China visiting folks. And I can't think of anything else. Just pray for us. Our finishing touches to go on to the house tomorrow. We've had a couple of days of good weather and it's supposed to be very good next week. So please do. Anybody that's any gardening or stuff to do outside, now would be the time to get it organised. And do what you can. As the Lord said, work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man worketh, and the winter will be here before you know it. We'll be singing all Christmas songs. So please do pray about that. Pray for each other. It's always good to be prayed for. Anybody got anything else? Nothing else. Let's pray, and then we'll sing another song. So, Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you, Lord, at this time for your patience and long-suffering with us, Lord, and for your continued help. The thing that is most upon our minds is the country of Israel, and I just pray, Lord, please, that you would bless them, that you would oppose at every turn their enemies, that you would show yourself to be a great God, that you would confound the enemies at every turn, Lord, and most importantly, that you would show the whole world that there is a God, and you're still good, and you're still able to overcome. Please be with all of those men and women that are fighting to protect their homes over in Israel and to protect all of the Jews, Lord. And please oppose every single Muslim, Lord, that's over there causing bother. And even in the countries round about, Lord, things are just a bit tense at the moment. And I pray, Lord, please, that you would speak to souls, Lord. I want to see souls saved, but people that still need to see your God, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here this evening. We do miss those that aren't. I pray your good hand upon us, upon our private prayer requests, and you know what they are, and upon our daily bread, Lord. I pray that you would supply. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and all of the other things that we have done. And we ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right. We are going to sing hymn number 5 in the wee black book. Number 5 is "The Lord is My Shepherd," or "The Lord's My Shepherd." And just remain seated, that's what we say. "The Lord's My Shepherd," number 5 in the wee book. I will do in the big books again, if you want to scoot back over there, we'll do 125 as the solid rock. Hymn number 125, the solid rock. And if you're able, let's stand as we sing this last hymn before we open our Bibles. Just a change of pace for an hour, that you get something out of it with an opportunity to think on the Word of God. Let's have a wee read at Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Book of Malachi, the last word spoken to the people of God for nearly 400 years. And amen, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, please bless us as we take this few minutes in your word this evening. And I pray you, Lord, that these would be a help to us. And even as things are going on in the world right now, and we feel, Lord, for the people in Israel because we're grafted into the promise of their salvation. And I just thank you for that, Lord. For each soul that's here and saved, I pray that it will be made known in each one of our hearts, Lord, just where we have our assurance and protection in our salvation from. Please bless this time, Father, our absent brethren, our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they might be, as they listen to the full counsel of your word. And we love you and thank you. And we ask for all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Malachi chapter 4 is a not very often spoken about piece of the word of God. But like I said earlier on, as we look at this right now, these are the last words that God gave to the children of Israel through Malachi the prophet, and he said some quite interesting things. We take it a verse at a time, and then all together, we see that there are warnings. There are promises and prophesies, and the fulfillment of them for everyone that either hates God or loves God. And let's have a look at it. The Lord said to us through Malachi at the start of verse number 4. Chapter 3 is a great encouragement as well, and well worth reading. But these are the very, very last words. And in verse number 1, the first words that we have for us, it says, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." In other words, we're talking about judgment coming for everyone that does wickedly. In other words, for every soul that has rejected Jesus Christ, judgment's coming. And it says, there'll not be one thing left of them. Not one thing. They'll be burned up, just like the bits of straw and stick would be burned up in a fire, and there will be nothing left. In other words, it's a woeful judgment coming for Christ's rejecters. And this is God reminding the children of Israel of this before he stopped working with them for 400 years. Now bear in mind, everybody didn't have a copy of the Old Testament. People had to go to the synagogue to hear the priest talking from the Old Testament. So we'd have to have a very good memory, and maybe anybody that was taught to write, they might have written down portions of the scriptures as the priest would read them out. But it just wasn't, they couldn't pull out their phone and have the Bible in their hands, and they couldn't pull out the wee pocket Bible that I'm sure some of the soldiers are running about with right now in Israel. They had to remember all of this. And so here's the promise. Judgment's coming. For those that hate God, judgment is coming, and it will come. Because God said it will come, it's going to come. He goes on to the next verse, and he says, "Saved folks, well, unto you that fear the Lord, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Just for a little bit of explanation, if anyone has an old farming background, if you grew up as a calf of the stall, that means you had shelter, you had bedding, and you had all the feeding that you liked, and you were looked after and tended to and well protected. And that's what God promises to you and I that love him as Savior. The Lord will rise up with healing in his wings. In other words, he is going to make you perfect. He will take away, the Bible says, every ache and pain, every tear and fear. He says there'll be no more remembrance of former things, all the hurts, all the betrayals, all the lies, all of that, everything will be gone. It'll be the memories you have of God, the memories of the deeds that you have done, the love that you had for those around and about you. All of that will be left, the good stuff will be left, and the bad stuff will all be gone, your sin nature will be gone, and the Bible says you'll tread down the wicked. Now a lot of people tend to think that means that Christians are going to be walking through hell and grinding the heads of those that have rejected Jesus into the ground, but that's not talking about that. That's talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. It's detailed in Revelation chapter 20, and that comes, there is now, there, the rapture is coming, there's the 7 years of tribulation, great tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and 1,000 years where Christ rules the world. After that, the devil's released for a little while, and everybody that got a fair shake, plenty to eat, and all that stuff, they turn against God because they hated them from the beginning. And then fire comes down from heaven and destroys them all. But in the meantime, everyone that opposes God, whenever we're on this earth, we will be like the police force. We will be like the labor force. Indestructible, immortal, perfect. And we will go around and we will make sure that God's law is enforced. And the Bible talks many times about the Lord ruling and smiting the nations with a rod of iron. So this is the promise of the end of all things. It's almost like a mini version of the book of Revelation. In the meantime, in verse number 4, God says through Malachi to you and I, remember the law of Moses, my servant. Now, a lot of people don't like to think that, oh, I have to obey the law, I'm saved. Well, yes, you're saved, and if you really are saved, you will love God's law, because God's law is what keeps people living together in close proximity without eating each other alive. God's law will keep you right in this world. It won't save your soul, but it'll save your life. It might save you a bit of money and a lot of heartache, but God said, remember the things that I have laid down so that you live peaceably with each other. So, judgment's coming. Judgment for the lost, salvation for the saved. There's going to be a great victory. And until I come back, remember all the things that I told you. And as you look for Messiah, here's what you need to look out for. I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, one of the things we need to look out for is that Jesus was going to come back, and it was prophesied in the book of Daniel that he would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey as the king of the Jews 483 years after Nehemiah got permission from Artaxerxes, I think it was, to rebuild Jerusalem. 483 years. So only 83 years before Malachi put this down, the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem. Here's what you look out for. Elijah will come. And John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and he preached to the people, and he taught the people. In fact, it actually says about him in Isaiah 40, it's the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in his desert a highway for our God. And that's what Elijah came doing. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. And what was John the Baptist going to come to do? He was going to give people a shake and a reminder that God is still working with his people and that they needed to get their heads screwed on and keep their eyes on him. Now, there are plenty of biblical prophecies and plenty of promises. If we were to look at the verses 2 and 3, where the Lord comes back and redeems those that love him and sets us up as kings and priests in the world for 1,000 years to minister to all of the people and to help them with everything they need to get the whole world back on its feet again. The Lord said that in Isaiah 9. He says, For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there's, at the end of the next verse, it says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. In other words, that was talking about the everlasting reign of God Almighty, even scooting away back to the beginning of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the great statue of gold and silver, brass and iron, and a rock rolling down the hill and crushing the feet and the legs and the arms and the chest and the head, and the wind blowing them away, and there wasn't a sign of them anymore, and that rock growing to fill the whole world is God's kingdom. There are so many prophecies wrapped up in this, and it was so that the people could see and understand and remember God's promises. We know, because Jesus told the disciples, he said, if you can take it. If you can take it. If you want to get to grips with it. John the Baptist is Elijah. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. And whenever he said that to the disciples, he was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one that was promised. John the Baptist is Elijah. He shall come, and he shall pave the way for the Messiah. And an interesting little thought in the verse number 6, it says, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Because I know that there is a great rebellion and a great laxness everywhere in society, where many times, most times, children are seen more as an inconvenience than anything else. They simply get in the way of the mother and father being out and enjoying themselves. They are not treated properly. They're not given the love and the dedication, the direction and the correction that it is that they need. And as a result of that, the children don't look to their fathers. They don't respect their fathers. I think I was even in that boat as well. And it has only been since I got out into the world and realized that most of the stuff that my dad told me was right, and I hardly knew anything at all. I wasn't Spider-Man or Iron Man. I didn't have superpowers. I wasn't Bruce Lee. And I couldn't beat up a crowd of bad guys coming my direction. But my dad was right in just about everything. We don't have that today. People are told that old people know nothing, that youth gets all of the many blessings and helps, and people should strive to be young. That's not what God said. You get anywhere in life and you have a few grey hairs and a few wrinkles, you must be doing at least something right. I think we're all in that boat at the moment. But you're cheating, John. You've got a few wrinkles, but you must be doing something right, because if you were doing stuff completely wrong, you wouldn't be here. You would get your Darwin's Award and shuffle off this mortal coin. But that was the whole idea. Even to have the, to speak more historically, to turn the minds of the children to their fathers, the father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the way that they walked and talked with God, albeit sometimes they were a bit on the flaky side. And for 400 years, these were the last words that God's people had. And we find that whenever God came back, 400 years later after the end of this, that they hated God. They did everything in their power to kill him. A number of times they tried to throw him off the top of some mountain down. The arrest warrants that were set out for him, and eventually they got him 3 years into his ministry, and they treated him terribly. For just 400 years after God stopped sending prophets and whatnot, the same word was preached. But it became corrupted because men took their eyes off God and started looking at their wallets. And they started looking at their influence. And they started looking at their pleasures. And they became less diligent about loving their God and preaching the gospel and rolling up their sleeves and remembering that they are the ministers to minister to the people, not the other way around. And so as we read through the New Testament, We see one of the great prophecies was something that happened at the end of the Old Testament. It's happening even now. It said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that one of the signs of the last days is that there shall be traitors in the pulpit. People that look like they're religious, but there's not a bit of a gospel in them at all. They don't tell anybody about the way that God gave his son's life on the cross at Calvary to save people from the consequences of their sins. And they don't tell anybody about the power of the gospel in your life right now to save your life right now. So if we scoot on to the end of the New Testament, and we get the last few chapters in the book of Revelation, we have the final battle where the devil tries again to kill Jesus and fails again, and he's thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, where all those that hated God, whose names are not in the book of life, they're thrown into the lake of fire, and they'll be tormented there sadly forever and ever, but completely of their own doing. And then the next few chapters detail the New Jerusalem. The beauty of it, the construction of it, the new heavens and the new earth, a country wherein dwelleth righteousness. And those were the last words, the reminders of judgment, the reminders of something better, and the reminder not of the coming again of Christ to us, but the coming of us to Christ. 2,000 years it's been nearly this time, and do you know what? They haven't changed a bit. There's always been a number of faithful people that have stuck with the Word of God that will stand and say, look, what you have said is different from what God's Word has said. That makes you wrong and God right. You really ought to change. Oh, but I can't be doing that because then I would lose my money, I would lose my job, I would lose my authority. So I am going to persecute and kill you. And you know what? That's exactly what has happened. Even within a year or two of the Lord going up into heaven, Caesar was out killing Christians by the hundreds and by the thousands. In the Dark Ages, the Roman Catholic Church did a grand purge of Christianity. In fact, one of the Protestant churches said, or maybe it was the Catholic Church, if the persecution on the Baptists had not been as severe as it was, they would outnumber the Reformers. We stand at the same point. And there's a reason the church isn't full, because people don't want to hear that difficult times are here. And we can see that we see biblical prophecy coming to pass from Zechariah chapter 12, where Israel is content as a source of trouble and worry and woe to the nations around about it, and it is the nations around about it that have attacked it. But the verse or two further on down it there says that Israel will devour them as a fire devours the stubble and a sheaf of straw. Wait and see what happens. Israel will prevail and they will take land back. And maybe right the land that they took first time around whenever they became a nation. Even though it's nice to be able to read these things, and it's nice to be able to take your finger and point at them and then be in a far away country, these things are happening to us now. And we need to remember that the Bible said they were going to happen in our day. And we need to make sure that whether we take up arms and we're there to fight for them, or whether we're far, far away from them and all we can do is pray for them and speak for them, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to remember that the proud and all that do wickedly will burn a stubble. They will face judgment. And we need to remember that all those that love the Lord, that fear God, as they say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we will have the Son of Righteousness arise in our lives and in our mortal lives with healing in his wings, and God will provision us. We will grow up as calves of the stall, and someday we will be part of God's police force, walking this world and doing His will. And in the meantime, we ought to live peaceably with each other. We need to remember things. We haven't changed one bit. Our needs haven't changed one bit. Jesus Christ, it says, I think it's in Hebrews 13, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to listen to what God says and live our lives accordingly. Now it says here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and dreadful day of the Lord. The Lord is actually coming back, and we will see Him face to face. And everything will be right with the world. The sad thing is that everything won't be right with all the people in the world. And that is why it is so important that as you go from day to day, you remind yourself of these things. In the reading of a portion of the Old Testament, in the reading a portion of the New Testament, and singing some of those good old songs, and talking to God in prayer, and reminding yourself of these things that can save not just your soul forever, but your life right now. Things that the world is trying to bury, things that the world is trying to blot out with all of the fear and uncertainty that is being preached continually. I am sure everybody was rolling their eyes and grinding their teeth at the thought of another winter with COVID. So now they throw in another war. They have the war in Ukraine with Russia defending its borders. Now they have the war in Israel with Israel defending its borders. Who ever would have thought that Russia would be seen as a good guy? But there you go. Russia is a good guy, Israel's portrayed as the bad guy, and the Palestinians and the Nazis are portrayed as the good guys. We live in the days that the Bible said in Isaiah 5, woe unto you that call evil good and good evil. We live in these days. So please, even though the Lord has not sent us another prophet with any words for nearly 2,000 years, for just over 1,900 years, keep your eyes on the Lord. When Jesus came back in the New Testament, there were a few that had their eyes looking for Him. There were thousands whose hearts were prepared to follow Him. If you read on into the book of Acts, do you remember when the Holy Spirit came into the room and indwelt the apostles, and they walked out with cloven tongues of fire upon their heads, and they were able to speak with tongues? Does anyone remember the number of souls that were added to the books that were added to the roll call in heaven? Does anyone remember? There were 3,000. 3,000 souls. And they heard Jesus speak, and many of them even baptized by John. Many of them ate of the food that came down from heaven twice when Jesus bless the loaves and the fishes. Friends, there will always be a remnant. But that remnant needs to remember to keep their eyes on the Lord. There's always some that kept their eyes on the Lord, regardless of even what the minister said. They kept their eyes on the Lord. And I know it's the same today. Make sure you're one of them. Make sure you're part of the solution and not part of the problem. That whenever you pray and ask the Lord for your heart's desires and the things you need, that there is some answer, even if it's only a no or a not now, or if it's what you need. Make sure you're part of the solution. Make sure you're one of God's people, one of God's children. And don't be afraid to tell people about the great things that God has done for you. People need to hear them. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's sing our last song, and then we will be dismissed. Let's see where it is. Here it is. We're in the big hymn books, number 244. 244 in the big hymn book. Let's stand as we close with Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. session, let's close our eyes. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time out. Bit of peace and quiet in a week of madness and a world gone crazy. I pray, Lord, please, that you continue to work on our hearts and minds as we head our separate ways. That you would bless our endeavors as we do them for you. That people would hear and see the gospel hard at work in our lives and give them pause, good souls pause for thought. Please oppose those that are about wickedness and devilment and the taking of life and the ruin of eternity, Lord. Please oppose them at every turn. Please convict greatly of sin and judgment to come. And please save lost souls. Please be with those of our loved ones that don't know you as Savior, with our friends that don't know you, neighbours. Lord, please work in this town, and please, Lord, we just want souls to be saved. Please broaden the borders of Bethel. Please look after the folks on the road here, Lord, and please save their souls too. And I pray, Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done. Please come quickly. Please bless, keep and protect Israel. Please save the lives of men and women in Ukraine. And Lord, I pray for your good hand that would not be completely overdosed yet. We love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to the law. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. We're dismissed. Hands and fellowship for a little while. Amen.